Welcome back to the Unraveled Podcast. My name is Nina.
And my name is Alina.
And today I wanted to talk about some real estate myths.
Okay. So
I have a list here and I figured I'd just go through the list.
Okay.
And then we can kind of talk about it and kind of go from there. So the first one I wrote down is that you need 20% down to buy a house.
Okay.
And I hear this all the time from people. And just quite frankly, it's not true. It depends on what type of payment you want, how you qualify. I mean, so many different factors.
Sure.
Do you hear that a lot from people that you have to have 20% down to buy a house?
For mostly, I think people do have that common misconception that you have to have 20% down. It's funny. I don't even know where people get that from. Because the reality is you can purchase a home with 0% down. I've got a client right now that's doing a USDA loan with 0% down. Mm-hmm. You can also do 3.5% down. There's 5%. There's so many other percentages in between 20% that I don't know where people get the 20% idea from.
It's the same people that say realtors only open doors or buyer's agents are free. I'm just kidding.
Probably so. But in general, no, you don't have to have 20%. And there's so many options beyond that. And it's very rare that I ever see a buyer even put 20% down unless it's like a second home or investment property and they choose to put 20% down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Give me another one.
So the second one that I wrote down is that the housing market's going to crash. I'm going to wait to buy a house till the market crashes.
So funny, we vaguely touched on this in a different capacity in another episode about how people want to wait until the interest rate changes. I feel like I take both questions in the same capacity because realistically, you're waiting. You're not wanting to buy because of an outside factor that's unknown. You don't know if the housing market's going to crash. You don't know if the rates are going to change. Mm-hmm. So the reality is why are you allowing your purchase to be contingent on an outside factor that you have no control over? What you can control is what you can do now based on what's going on in the market.
Yeah.
So why not buy if you're able to while the interest rates are what they're at? Like I said before, you date the rate, you marry the house.
The other factor too is what people don't understand is you have to look back at why the market crashed back when it did. You know, a lot of things have changed when it comes to rules and laws around lending.
Absolutely.
Is there still some predatory lending practices? Sure. But there's a lot more regulation now. And I mean,
you are
here 100%
in Georgia, right.
We're so behind on housing still. I mean, there's different factors, but it's just simply not true.
And for those people who may not know about why 2008 crash happened, it's because back in the day, lenders, there was no... And this is me talking about it from the capacity of me having heard it from other people. But basically, there was no guidelines in terms of, or the guidelines weren't strict enough in terms of what it took to qualify to purchase a home. Mm-hmm. So you've got lenders writing loans with people that are making zero income or barely anything who can't truly qualify for the home. So then what happened in 2008 is because, you know, these lenders are just writing loans out and letting people buy houses, nobody could afford what they were buying. So then everybody's house gets on the market and then that's when the market crash happened.
Mm-hmm.
So like you talk about now, those guidelines have changed and they're incredibly strict, making it even more harder for people to qualify to buy a home, which means that if there's another market crash that by some random chance it happens again, it's certainly not going to be for the same reasons that it happened last time.
Mm-hmm.
It would have to be for something very crazy like COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And even COVID didn't make the market crash. If anything, it made it go crazy and better than anyone could imagine.
Yeah.
So I think at this point, there's definitely better systems that are in place for things like that that isn't going to make the market crash.
Mm-hmm. Third myth that I wrote down. Selling, this is kind of two-part. Selling without an agent, you make more money selling without an agent. And if you're a buyer, going directly to the listing agent will guarantee you get a better price on the house.
Okay, so those are two parts. Let's talk about the first one.
Okay.
Say the first one again.
So the first one is, if you sell your house without an agent, you save money.
Not necessarily. If you truly know what you're doing, you know how to market your home, you know all the nuances to selling a home, how to represent yourself, the entire process, and you truly feel like you know what you're doing, then possibly. If you don't, and you're just trying to save money and throw your house on the market, is it going to really sell? Are you doing the right things to get your home sold? And are you just doing it just to save money? I think there's there's two parts of it. Are you doing it to save money, or are you doing it because you know what you're doing? Mm-hmm. If you're doing it to save money, then you're probably not going to really save money because you don't know what you're doing. You're just doing it to save money. Yeah, that's my opinion.
Yeah. And what about part two?
Tell me
going
part two
directly.
Again.
If you're a buyer and you go directly to the listing agent, that will guarantee that you'll be able to get the house for a lower price because you don't have another agent involved.
So I've actually had that situation happen before. And the reality is, and this is what I've told every buyer who's ever came to me and said that, I may not be, at the end of the day, you are still coming to me to buy a house. That's probably my listing because mm-hmm. you're trying to not use an agent.
Yeah.
So the reality is even though you're not using an agent, I would still have to represent you as a customer. Mm-hmm. There still has to be some form of brokerage relationship that exists. I'm not going to represent you as a client because I'm already representing my seller as a client, but I will have to represent you as a customer. Mm-hmm. So I still have to draft up all the paperwork. I'm still doing all the negotiation between you and the other party. So at the end of the day, you may not have representation like mm-hmm. a client, but I'm still doing all the paperwork. I'm still going to charge you 3%. Yeah. And you don't get to negotiate my commission as well. My commission is based on my agreement with the seller. The buyer's mm-hmm. agent commission is based on their agreement with the seller. You don't get to throw that in as a factor of your negotiation with the seller because you don't want to hire a buyer's agent. So the reality is you're not saving money as a buyer's agent because there's still a buyer's agent to have to be paid regardless if you're represented or not. Mm-hmm. Someone's drafting up the paperwork. And the reality is you don't have the same kind of paperwork that I have. You don't get to use our contracts. Most of my listing agreements that I do with my clients specifically states in there that we will only use GAR contracts mm-hmm. if we get an offer because I'm unfamiliar with any other documentation that exists outside mm-hmm. of that. And I cannot properly represent my clients if it's on a different kind of form. So yeah. You can send me an offer on your documents. I'm going to have to redraft it up anyways mm-hmm. on my proper forms.
Yeah.
So end of the day, I'm doing the same amount of work I would have to do regardless.
And what you're doing is not only are you not saving money, but then you're taking the risk of not having representation.
Correct.
So.
Correct.
You know, and I can say that as a listing agent to where if somebody comes without an agent, I could potentially make more money. Mm-hmm. But it's still not in their best interest because you need to get your own representation.
I really do. Quite frankly, like I think it sounds stupid. Mm-hmm. Like and anyone that comes in the few situations that I've had that happen, I literally just tell them like, you don't get to negotiate the buyer's agent commission. That's not for you to determine what happens to. At the end of the day, the listing agent and the seller have an agreement on how that is already structured.
Yeah.
And just because you decided not to get representation, you don't get to utilize those funds for whatever. Seller could decide to keep it. But realistically, the seller wouldn't really keep it in the agreement that already exists. More than likely, it states in there the buyer agent is getting paid X this amount of money. Mm-hmm. And you may not come unrepresented as a client, but there is representation as a customer.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. The next myth is that the Zestimate that you see on Zillow is accurate to the value of your home.
Oh, I love this one. Do you want
to? It's wrong. It's Yeah. I could tell you 10 different reasons why it's wrong, but primarily two reasons. Well, number one, you have to understand that Zillow cannot see all the data about mm-hmm. your home. They can't see if you've done upgrades. They mm-hmm. can't see if you've refinished bathrooms, floors. Your house could be crumbling on the inside, top to bottom, full of mold,
or it could be
peak condition. And their number is going to stay the same. The other factor, too, is you have to understand these companies are offering to buy homes all the time. So you'll get a Zillow offer. If you scroll down, you'll actually get an offer.
I never noticed that.
And so, again, think about how are these people making money, right? So they're going to tell you let's use the example of a house that's worth $500,000. For some reason, the Zestimate says your house is worth $410,000. Their offer is going to be $440,000. So you think, oh, wow, they're offering more than the market value of the home. But are they really? They're not.
Good point.
Because why would they want to buy your home? How does it benefit them? Everyone Correct. Wants to make money. So they're putting this estimate out there to make the consumer think their home is only worth a certain amount. Sometimes it's high, sometimes it's low. But usually it's not correct, 9 times out of 10.
Sure.
And if they're offering you more than this estimate, I promise you, your home is worth more.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Even just to a layer above that, you've got Zestimates You've got tax record. What are they called though?
Tax assessed value.
Mm-hmm. And you also have the appraised value, and then you have mm-hmm. market value. So we talk about four different valuations there, that people seem to misunderstand when they're trying to value either a purchase or the sale of their home. Mm-hmm. And all of those valuations have different purposes.
Yeah.
Zillow, I'm going to throw that out of the equation. We just talked about that, but tax assessed value. Mm-hmm. That is your most 9 times out of 10, the tax assessed value is way lower than your market value. Yeah. Quite frankly, you don't even want them to be at your market value, because if it is, that means your property taxes are going to go up because they're valuing your property at a higher rate. Mm-hmm. But you would not use the tax value to determine the true market value of a home. As a buyer and a seller, the only valuation that should matter to you is what the market value is, and then secondary, the appraised value. Mm-hmm. But the tax assessor's value is used because they're trying to assess the value for taxes. It's mm-hmm. literally just as simple as what it is.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with market value, but they're trying to determine what to tax your property at based on how they want to value it. Mm-hmm. If anything, you want that number to be low as possible. So that's the least amount of taxes you can pay.
Yeah.
And then you have the market value, mm-hmm. which market value is determined based off of what buyers are willing to pay for your home.
Correct.
That literally that simple. And then you have appraised value, which confirms the market value
based
to ensure
on past.
Correct, but all based on comps, legitimately.
But technically, you can have, if the market's strong, you could have buyers that are willing to pay more than the appraised value of the home.
Correct. That is true.
So.
But you have the appraised value, which is based off of data, statistics, and sometimes the appraised value can be higher than the market value. Sometimes the market value can be higher than the appraised value. It can work in both ways, mm-hmm. but the whole reason the appraised value exists is because the lender's trying to determine what they're willing to loan on the house, because they don't want to loan on the house for more than it's worth.
Yep, that's correct. So when you're looking at your estimate, just keep in mind that these companies have some ulterior motives with the number that they put out there. How are they getting that information? And can they see into your home and everything you've done and the maintenance?
Right.
So, okay. Next myth that I wrote down is that all real estate agents are the same.
I'm going to let you take that one. I know you're passionate about it.
Well, I feel like saying something like that is just like saying every person is the same. Or every restaurant you go to is the same. Or every movie. That's just simply not the case. There's going to be different levels of excellence in any industry that you work in or any product that you purchase.
Like Chick-fil-A and McDonald's. Please. They are both fast food restaurants, but the quality of service that you get at Chick-fil-A to compare to McDonald's are drastically different.
100%. I mean, you can drive through both of them. You can sit in both of them. You know?
You'll have customer service at both of them, but is it going to be top tier? Or is it going to be bottom tier?
And, you know, someone could easily choose to go to McDonald's. Someone could easily choose to go to Chick-fil-A. It's up to the consumer. But, I mean, I just think it's ridiculous.
I agree.
I don't even feel like I need to explain.
All right, next one. What we got next? Okay.
You should wait until interest rates drop to buy a house.
So we talked about that one, and I kind of mentioned it in one of the other ones you mentioned, so we can skip that one.
Yeah. But, I mean, on that topic, though, I'll just remind everyone of the story a client I had when the interest rates were 2.8%. Oh, interest rates are so high, I'm going to wait and wait and wait.
Before COVID?
It was right.
No, it might have been right at during COVID if
it
they were that
like
low.
It was like one of the lower points.
Yeah, it hadn't been during COVID.
And, of course, it didn't go down. It went up. Mm-hmm. And they ended up purchasing at like in the mid fours mm-hmm. when they could have purchased under 3%. So,
buy the house at the rate.
So, here's the last myth I wrote down. Real estate is always a good and safe investment and better than any other investment.
I'll let you take that one.
So, I wrote this down because I always tell people you make money on the purchase and not the sale. So, real estate can be an excellent investment. I've bought property where it is appreciated astronomically. And then there's times where I have clients that they have willingly chosen to overpay for property, knowing that they want that house. It's perfect for their family, their needs, mm-hmm. but it's going to take probably about 10 years for the appreciation to catch up mm-hmm. to what they paid for. So real estate is not necessarily a good investment across the board if you overpay for property.
Sure.
And you buy it in a location where maybe it's not appreciating very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about that?
I agree. Point blank.
Yeah. So just be cautious when you're buying. You know, it's like buy something under market value if you can, because that's the safest bet.
I agree.
Well, that's all the myths I wrote down. Do you have any more myths you want to share?
None that I can think of off the top. I think you had some pretty good ones. I know we've done an episode before on mm-hmm. myths, and we can certainly go on for days about mm-hmm. different beliefs that are not correct.
Mm-hmm.
But you certainly hit some really good points.
Well, if you guys think of any other myths or questions, feel free to leave it in the comments.
Absolutely.
We will be back next Wednesday with another episode. And we release a new episode each week. So feel free to connect with us on social media and wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for watching.